So you need to switch on your phone and identify... our series, I forgot to say. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I asked you for the slide. Our series is about being sent. I hope you know that. So name the news story. Okay, here we go. Here's the slide. Here's the picture. Get it on your phone. Can we pop it up, Rebecca? The picture? Yes, brilliant. Okay. Can you get it on your phone? You need to get it on your phone. Name the news story. Because I'm not, for copyright reasons, allowed to show you the proper picture. Anyone know the story? Anyone know the story? If you're in the know and you want to be smug, just turn to someone and in a smug voice, tell them what the news story is all about. Okay. Yeah, you can get it on your phone if you want to. If you want to get a picture of it, you can get it on your phone. Anyone got it? Is anyone's phone loud enough to play the noise? Can anyone get it? No, it's not. By the way, the world's best headline ever is the one I saw yesterday, which is Jesus fights for place in the Arsenal team. Because there's a player called Jesus. Anyway, that's the best ever. But has anyone got this? Impressions? Little boy doing seagull impressions? He won a competition. There's a little boy who won a competition for the best seagull impression ever. And he, if you look on your phone, you'll see he's wearing a seagull outfit. That is the picture I would have liked to have shown you, but for copyright reasons, I'm not allowed to. Okay, so after three seagull impressions, are you ready? Who can do the best one here? Ready? 3, 2, 1. Now, Malachi, I used to be a teacher a long time ago, and what I would do is bring you out to the front and tell everyone the joke that you just told. Seagulls do not say seagull. Okay. Honestly, trying hard. It's bank holiday weekend. So after three, seagull impression. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Absolutely. I think someone was more impressive than she thought. But here's the wonderful little link. Are you ready for it? We can't switch it off now. Here's the link. Is there anyone pretending to be a Christian? Oh. Is there anyone here tonight impersonating a Christian? Oh, that's a bit heavy, isn't it, for a bank holiday weekend? Is there any of us who kind of feel either we wear some clothes to look like a Christian? I'm not entirely sure what those are. I mean, figuratively, okay? We put on Christian clothes. I'm not going to name any clothes now because I will offend someone in the building if I... Me, look at me, sad. These kind of clothes, Christian clothes. Or I wonder if actually we go into situations where we feel like we're improperly dressed as a Christian. So I don't know what school looks like for you guys, or uni looks like for you guys, or your family looks like for you guys, wherever you're going. Maybe your relationship, I don't know what that looks like, work, whatever. And do you ever sort of kind of feel like I'm inadequately dressed as a Christian for this situation? I don't feel like I've got, whatever I need, protective gear. I once went for a walk with Nikki and put on a pair of walking boots that I hadn't used for about, 3 years. And we got 20 yards up the road and the sole fell off it. And I spent the whole of the rest of a 5-mile walk with one walking boot without a sole on it, Do you ever feel like that? You heard this amazing, amazing testimony from Pierre and Adelaide about a situation where they're really feeling sent. They have been sent. They know they've been sent. And the challenge they're facing, that they could be chucked out of a country, probably would, police would be involved. There could be some, I wonder if they feel adequately dressed for where they've been sent. You see, we're thinking, aren't we? We've been saying the last few weeks that we're all sent. We're all the sent ones. We've been looking through the Acts, book of Acts, which is the what happened next book, isn't it? Luke writes the first book about the story of Jesus, and then Acts is the what happened next. And we've been following through, and we landed in a story at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, where two of Jesus' followers, Peter and John, they go and they heal a lame guy who's been sitting by this gate called Beautiful. And there's this word picture that's created. The one who is beside this beautiful gate watches the beautiful people go in. And he's not allowed to go in because he's lame. And if you're lame, well, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned, mustn't you? There must be a reason. And then he gets healed by these followers of Jesus who believe, they have the faith to believe what Jesus has said to them. That I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that with God, the same Holy Spirit that's in me, I'm going to share with you and fill with you, and you're going to be able to do even more than I've done. You're going to be able to look at people. You're going to be able to say to people, be healed in the name of Jesus. And we saw in that story how there's this word picture that the person who's been excluded at the beautiful gate ends up inside the temple, and he's leaping and he's praising, and all of the people are amazed because the one who was on the outside is now on the inside. And do you remember, if you were here a few weeks ago, I was saying, I wonder if you kind of feel maybe on the outside. Maybe that sort of sense of not being, you know, properly dressed, maybe that dream actually kind of, actually, there's a bit of truth that you feel like that on the inside. It's like everybody else, you know, you're the one who's walked into the party and you, no one told you it was a fancy dress party or it wasn't a fancy dress party. I watched Legally Blonde last night, one of the greatest films ever made. And there's a moment where Elle goes into a party and she's been tricked into believing it's a fancy dress party. And it isn't. And I was trying to encourage you, first and foremost, that God says you're in. It's not just about the, in inverted commas, beautiful people. This is for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. He rose again for you. If you'd been the only one, he would have done it. He loves you that much, and he loves you that much now, and he's saying, come on, I'm cheering you on. Especially if you feel sometimes like you're kind of wrongly dressed for life. Because you know what he says? God says that he wants to clothe you. He wants to, that's language that gets used about the Holy Spirit. He wants to clothe you with himself. Might feel weird to even think about that. But it's the kind of language that the Bible uses to say he wants to embrace you. In fact, more than that, he wants to clothe you from the inside out. He actually wants to give you the perfect armor. He wants to give you the perfect gear to wear to do life. Because we are the sent ones. And he doesn't send us into our lives, whatever they look like. He doesn't send you into whatever, well, not tomorrow, that's a bank holiday, but you know what I mean, the rest of the week looks like ill-equipped. He doesn't invite you to go. He's not inviting Adelaide and Pierre to go where they are exposed. He's not asking them to turn up in a situation where they should be wearing proper shoes, wearing trainers. He's not asking them to go into a rainstorm without their coat. We are the sent ones because God's mission plan is you. We are the sent ones who he wants to equip. Because it is a battle. It is a battle. You've had a little taste of battle from what Pierre and Adelaide have said. But maybe you could have, and don't worry, I'm not going to ask you, but maybe you could have come here and shared a story about your battle. It might be a battle that's going on really inside of you. It's going on in your heart right now. It might even be going on in your mind right now. You're looking at me and listening to me and you're going, I'd kind of like to believe it. I hope at least you feel that. But maybe not me. Maybe you feel like that lame person who sat by the beautiful gate. Again, just to have that picture. And it's kind of like you're watching everyone else. You're even looking at the people here tonight. And you're kind of watching them. They're like the beautiful ones. They get to go in. They get to go into the inner sanctum. They can connect with God in a way that I'm not allowed to, or I just can't. I mean, Andrew, if you knew, if anyone here knew, maybe that's your battle. Maybe your battle is because other people in your lives have just not treated you well. You know, if you've been told by a lot of people in a lot of circumstances, you're never going to be good enough. If you've had that label on you, you'll never amount to much. You'll never be good as your sister. You'll never be as good as your brother. Hey, you should look at your cousin. Have you heard what A's they got? Or whatever. That might be the battle. God wants to equip you. He wants to give you clothes to wear for those kinds of battles. Maybe it's a bit more like Pierre and Adelaide. Maybe it is in your family. You know, you're the weird one because you've gone down the road to the Jesus cult. Especially Trinity. I mean, come on. That's really happy clappy, isn't it? Really weird. Maybe your partner thinks you're slightly mad. Your husband, your wife, your partner. Maybe your friend. You know, what are you going to say to people on Tuesday morning? Do anything good at the weekend? There'll be a battle if you're real. Maybe that's your battle. Well, again, God wants to equip you for this very real battle. Let's just remind ourselves of some of the things that have happened in Acts, and we'll just flow on a little bit more. So Acts chapter 5, switch off the seagull, put on Acts chapter 5, and here it is. The apostles, the followers of Jesus, performed many signs and wonders among the people. This is after this event with the healing of the lame man. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. So they're meeting in public. They're not hiding away. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. I mean, so much was going on that sort of kind of, wow, this is going to change your life. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. We've heard that a bit before, haven't we, as we've been following the stories for thousands. Thousands coming and connecting and saying yes to Jesus. There was an explosion of the Holy Spirit at work, and then carrying on, Acts chapter 5, 15, 16. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow, so Peter, the follower of Jesus, so great, so much was he filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God, that literally it seeped out of him. His shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Interesting question, isn't it? What kind of shadow do you leave? What kind of shadow do you leave in the places where God is sending you? Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. It's amazing. But then here it comes. Here's the battle. Acts 5, 17, 18, then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees, that was one group of religious people at the time of this is happening, the early church, they were filled with jealousy. Interesting word, isn't it? They were filled with jealousy. They wanted this impact. They wanted this power. They wanted, you know, again, Adelaide and Pierre just sharing about real people who really want God's power in their lives. Those are, it's true of the people you know as well. So they arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. Now here's the truth. We are sent ones into a battle. Paul, the writer of a lot of our New Testament, writes this in Ephesians chapter 6 when he's writing to the guys who are meeting at Ephesus at the end. He says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, there's a truth, isn't there, that we do not need to give the evil one, the devil, Satan, we don't need to give him more airtime than he in any way deserves. There's a truth here that's being said, that we need to be awake to the reality of the battle. That behind the stuff we can see, there are spiritual forces at work. But we need to be more alive to the power of God. The evil one, as the Bible talks about the devil, Satan, is not equal to God. There's not, to use a technical word, a dualism going on. There's not God and the devil, and they're kind of trying to fight and pull against you, and they're evenly matched, and who's going to win? The battle, the victory has already been won because of the cross. Turn to someone and say, "The battle's been won." Yeah. Yeah. Jesus has already defeated death. He's already defeated death. But we need to have an awareness of this spiritual reality. So if you love Lord of the Rings, or you love the Narnia films, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, they're actually not, strictly speaking, technically allegory. They're not exactly trying to say, here's a picture for you of Jesus, but they're kind of, what if? What if Jesus was an animal like a lion? There'd be this battle against this white witch. If you imagine, what if that kind of kingdom? Or Lord of the Rings, you'd have the battle of good against evil. You see, behind the challenges, behind the reality of your life and my life, are dark forces. They want to knock you off. They want to stop you even going up to the party door, because they want to say, you're not dressed for this. Or they want to take you out in any way that they can to deviate you, to distract you as the sent ones. They want to say to a peer in Adelaide, it's not worth it. Be better just keep your head down. They're saying to you, you know, at college, at uni, in your workplace, don't go there. It's just easier not to go there. That's the evil one's biggest strategy in our culture. In other cultures, people get persecuted, get killed. But in our culture, it just needs to put us to sleep. Just needs to say, just, you know, don't go there. Don't pick fights, you know. You? How dare you? You know, if you talk to your friends about Jesus and what he's done to you, they're going to remind you of some of the stuff that you've done wrong. They're going to look at you and they're just going to say, you're a hypocrite. And so we get taken out of the battle. Job done. People don't get to hear about Jesus. People don't get to hear about the one who wants to take them from the gate and actually take them right in. They don't hear about the one who says, I know you, I made you, I love you, I'm cheering you on, I'm all for you. I want to be your father. I want to embrace you as your perfect parent. It's been said by quite a few. Yeah, thank you, Rachel, for putting that butt slide up. There we are. Brilliant. Those are really good verses that say what I've said much better than what I've said. Here's the butt. Acts will carry on. Thanks. But during the night, so they get put into prison, but during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Don't be taken out of the battle. Don't be taken out of the game. Don't be deceived, because the evil one is the biggest deceiver. He's lying to you. He's not telling the truth. Share the good news. So at daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they'd been told, and they began to teach the people. Carries on. I'm not going to read it all for you. Basically, verse 28 of Acts 5, the high priests and the religious leaders turn up and they say, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name of Jesus. What are you doing?" Peter and the other apostles reply, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Now, there's a really interesting bit that happens in the story. There's a debate that goes on amongst the religious leaders about what are we going to do? How are we going to put a stop to this? And a guy comes forward, Gamaliel, and he says, basically, he says this. He says at verse 38 in Acts chapter 5, if you're just following through, if their purpose or activity, if what these guys are doing is human, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop them. He says this, one of the religious leaders says to the rest of the religious leaders, they're trying to work out what to do to try and stop these guys from preaching. You'll only find yourselves, he says, fighting against God. As I say, it's kind of known sometimes as the Gamaliel principle. And when I hear people talking about it in church circles, they quite often mean it in a good way. Let's see what happens and let's see if God's in it. And that's true. We even sing the song. But if it means that we just step back and say, well, I'll kind of leave it up to God, then it's not good. See, guys, blessing and battle is normal. Blessing and battle at the same time is normal for those of us who follow Jesus. Remember when I'm a friend of mine at college, you know, used to get really annoyed with me for being a Christian. And I could never answer his questions at uni. I could never answer it. And I was not living a world's greatest life, and so my own life was not a great witness. And one day, though, I did just think enough to say, Matt, if this is rubbish, why are you bothered? It was just a little God moment. Blessings and battle are the norm for Christians, both at the same time. If we're facing battles, it tells us, doesn't it, that this matters. This is true. If it wasn't true, if God's power wasn't God's power, if we weren't the sent ones, if we weren't trying to walk in a way where our shadows were leaving more God, bringing more love, and there wouldn't be battle. As I've said, there's a lesson here from this bit of Acts as we carry on and we follow through the story about being awake to the reality of evil that is behind the rubbish that we see around us and experience. But we need to be alive to the greater power of God that is in us. And we need to not stop being the sent ones. What do we do? Well, here we go. Let's read on. Acts 5, 41 to 42, last bit. The apostles left the Sanhedrin. They left where the religious were, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name Jesus. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Thankfulness. Rejoicing is the way to handle battle. The power of thankfulness. It's a choice. What am I going to choose to think about? How am I going to give thanks to God for even his mercies, even in the worst situations? Our thoughts determine the pattern of our lives. Paul, again, in Philippians, when he was writing to the church in Philippi, says, in every situation, give thanks. That's the first way that we live out the battle. But here's the bit I wanted to finish on. Acts 5:32, basically the apostles at the very end said, we're witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And the picture we've got to finish with is, as Paul says, fundamentally, so we give thanks, we rejoice, we choose to focus on what God is doing in the battle, is to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got a picture here. Oh, it's just come up. I've got a picture here for you of a couple of contemporary Roman centurions taken at the time. Some of you will know what Paul finishes with at the end of Ephesians. That's what I want to finish with tonight, because I've got a question for you. Are you missing any of the right clothes to be a sent one for the battle?